If people are naked, you can't make it.
Even if you have the clothing on.
That's right.
Did you ever do this?
I mean, you guys say the tefillah. Even if you didn't make a bracha, you guys say
the tefillah.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the bracha again.
No. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. Actually, good morning. Yeah, we were. We were looking at the mitzvahs that are connected with the Exodus, and I had mentioned that there is an annual mitzvah, which of course is the mitzvah of the Seder nights, and then there is a daily mitzvah. Now again, they go by two different terms. The mitzvah of the Seder night is either called Haggadah, which is extensive narrative, or Sipur, which again means narrative, because that's a whole Haggadah. During the year, every single day, there's a much more limited mitzvah that is simply called Zechira, remembering the Exodus. And we are obligated to remember the Exodus every single day and every single night. However, one has to know that the word remembering means verbal remembering, meaning one does not fulfill the mitzvah by simply thinking about it, but you are obligated to verbalize the reality of the Exodus. But during the year, it's very short, right? Pesach night is long, and during the year, it's very short. And even a single verse, such as, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am the Lord your God, Asher Hotseisi Eschem, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, who took you out of the land of Egypt, you have fulfilled a mitzvah d'oraisa called Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, remembering the Exodus of Egypt. And this is done day and night. And this explains a certain aspect of the Shema, and one needs to know this. We know that there's a mitzvah in the Torah that every Jewish male, it's not a mitzvah on women, must recite the Shema in the morning and in the evening. And this is one of the 613 commandments. It is based on the pasuk that these words shall be in your heart, b'shiftecha b'veisach, when you sit in your house. And it says, u'v'shachbecha, when you lie down, which is interpreted to mean at night, u'v'kumecha, and when you get up, which is interpreted to be in the day. This is the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriyashma. Remember, Shemona Esrei and Psukei de Zimra and the blessings before and after Shema, they are all rabbinic laws. They are not Torah laws. But the recitation of the Shema is a Torah requirement. But how much of the Shema is actually a Torah requirement? The truth of the matter is, there are three paragraphs we read as part of the Shema. The first paragraph begins with Shema and it continues, V'yahavta, you shall love the Lord your God. The second paragraph is, V'hayom Shemoa, if you keep God's mitzvos, he will reward you. The third paragraph is about tzitzis. Now what's interesting is, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is only the first two paragraphs. And the theme is that the first paragraph is about accepting the yoke of God as your king. And the second paragraph is accepting the yoke of his commandments. In other words, not only do I accept God as my king, but I commit myself to fulfilling his commandments. That is Kriya Shema. The third parsha has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So the question is, why do I read the third parsha at all? So, one answer is that the third parsha talks about the commandment of tzitzis, and tzitzis is a tangible, physical reminder about keeping the 613 commandments of the Torah. Right? That's why many people keep their tzitzis out, because the Torah says you shall see your tzitzis, and you shall remember the commandments of God, so those who wear it out. Many Ashkenazim wear their tzitzis out, many Sephardim or Kabbalah do not wear their tzitzis out, but the concept is the same, whether it's physically looking at your tzitzis or whether it's spiritual contemplation. It's a Dover Pashut. We look at the tzitzis and we remember the commandments of God. Now, how does looking at the tzitzis remind us of the commandments of God? So Rashi explains the gematria of tzitzis. Let's first look at gematria. Gematria is numerical equivalent. Tzadik is 90, and Yud is 10, that's 100. Tzadik Yud is another 100. So you have 200, and Tuf is 400. So the gematria of tzitzis is 600. The tzitzis have 5 knots and 8 strings. 5 knots and 8 strings, 5 plus 8, if you remember your math, is 13. Tzitzis plus 5 knots and 8 strings is 613 commandments. When I look at my tzitzis, I remember the commandments of God. So, the point I'm making is, the parsha of tzitzis is not part of the Shema. It's not part of the Shema. You fulfill Kriya Shema with the first two paragraphs. But the Chachamim said you should put it in because this is a reminder of all of the mitzvahs that you have to do. But there's a problem with that. That makes sense during the daytime. You know that the mitzvah of tzitzis, we paskin, is only in the daytime. At night, there is no obligation to wear tzitzis. And the reason that's so is, this is at least the Rambam's opinion, that since the Torah describes tzitzis as that which you can see, you only have to wear tzitzis at a time when you would be able to see it by natural light, not by electric light. And since at night you wouldn't be able to really see your tzitzis, if there be no light at all, so the Rambam says you are exempt from tzitzis at night. So the question becomes, I understand why I read the parsha of tzitzis in the daytime, but why do I read the parsha of tzitzis at night? Answer, in the parsha of tzitzis, in addition to the mitzvah of tzitzis, there is another mitzvah that you're doing, and that is the mitzvah to remember the Exodus. That the last verse, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotseisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, is another mitzvah that you're doing. It's not the mitzvah of Shema, and it's not even about the mitzvah of tzitzis. It is the mitzvah of remembering the Exodus even at night. So it turns out, in the daytime, there are two reasons why I read the paragraph of Vayomer. One, because of tzitzis, and two, because of Exodus, Yetzias Mitzrayim. At night, I only read it for one reason, and that is the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, you will notice, if any of you use the Art Scroll Sitter, probably a lot of people might use that, you will actually notice that before the verse, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, there's a little asterisk, a little star, that says, have intention to fulfill the mitzvah of remembering the Exodus. They are right. If Art Scroll says it, it gotta be so. That is indeed the case, that is a separate mitzvah. And one needs to know that is a mitzvah that is totally independent of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, although Chazal bundled everything together. That is why in the Gemara Brachos it is recorded that the old minog of Eretz Yisrael was a very, very strange minog, but it makes a lot of sense. At night, they did not read the whole parsha of Tzitzis. This is how they read the third paragraph. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Lemor. Now the next is, talk to Bnei Yisrael about Tzitzis. They skipped all of it, and then they just said, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. They skipped everything else at night, because they took the position, since there is no mitzvah of Tzitzis at night, they did not mention it at night. Now, that's not our minhag. Our minhag is, once we're going to say the parsha of Tzitzis, even if we're only saying it for the last verse, we do say the whole thing. That is not our custom at all. But this is a custom that is recorded in the Gemara as the custom of Bnei Eretz Yisrael. And this is the custom that is indeed recorded in the Talmud Yerushalmi.
If you can see at night what you're reading, why can't you see your tzitzis at night too?
Well, you can see at night by what? Because of the light?
Well, if you have a minion and a bunch of people in a room, obviously the room's lit well enough for you to be reading. Yeah, sure.
No, so that's what I was saying, that the idea of seeing your tzitzis has to be natural. It cannot be by artificial light.
Oh.
So even if I can see it, but lamaisa, it's not a natural ria. Now, just as a point of information, I do want to point out.
So I thought it has something to do with the significance of reaching 248 words, which is like the 248 moves in our body.
That would also be the case. In other words, why we would read the whole thing at night. That's correct. In fact, you actually only have 245 words, and when the Chazan says Hashem Elokeichem Emet, that makes 248.
Sure.
Which are the limbs of your body, and that is why when you're davening Ma'ariv, or even the morning Shachar, you're saying Kriya Shema by yourself, and you're not going to have the three extra words, you say Kael Melech Ne'aman, right? Because you want to make it 248. Yeah, that's another reason. Obviously, the minhag of the old minhag of Eretz Yisrael, which is not practiced today in Israel, did not go with that numerical calculation. They just said, if it's not relevant, we don't read it.
Last thing. What if you're using candlelight? Is that natural?
No, so candlelight is not natural. No, I don't mean because electricity is technological. In other words, natural means without any augmentation. Now, one could ask, well, okay, but couldn't I see tzitzis by the light of the moon? That would appear to be natural. But still, since night is a time that sometimes you'll have the moon, sometimes you're not, so we kind of define night as a time when you're not going to see generally. Yeah.
I may have missed this between last and today. Does the blessings of Tefillin have anything to do with the Exodus also? Like the reason why, like when we say it, we recount it too?
And so with the blessings in the Shemona Esrei, you mean? Which blessings? The blessings of Shema?
The place on the Tefillin, the blessings for it specifically says, you know, about...
Well, in the, if you mean by tefillah, if you mean the Shemona Esrei actually does not really mention the Exodus, except in the most general terms. We thank Hashem for all that He has done to us.
So, like the blessings, like before you start all of that, like that, as you place the tefillah on, you know, you say.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said tefillin. I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you said tefillah. Yeah. That's correct. Obviously, the paragraphs that one recites before they put on the tefillin are all about the Exodus of Egypt.
So does that also fulfill that part?
Yes. So that's an interesting question. If I've already done that mitzvah, then why do I need to say? But the answer is, in the morning, I still need to say tzitzis because it's tzitzis. Mm-hmm. And at night, I don't wear tefillin, so I need to do it because of the Exodus. So you are correct. That is a good point. Now, let me point out, just for your information, that there actually is, you'll notice when I said you don't wear tzitzis at night, I said a few times, according to the Rambam. Why did I say according to the Rambam? Because there's actually a very interesting machlokes between the Rambam and the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher. The Gemara itself says that nighttime garments don't, even if they're four-cornered, I mean, normally they're not, but let's say you have a four-cornered nighttime garment, you don't have tzitzis. So according to the Rambam learns simply this. If you wear it in the day, you have tzitzis. If you wear it at night, you don't have tzitzis. Right? The Rambam says, nighttime, no mitzvah of tzitzis. The Rush has a whole different interpretation. The Rush says, it's not a question of day and night. It's a question of what type of garment it is. If it's a garment that you normally wear at night, you don't have tzitzis even if you wear it in the day. And if it's a garment you normally wear in the day, you do have tzitzis even if you wear it at night. So according to the Rush, if I wanted to put on my talis, let's say, at night, I would actually make a bracha even at night, because since the talis is normally worn as a daytime garment, I would make the bracha at night. If, on the other hand, I had, let's say, a poncho, kind of a four-cornered like poncho that I put on for a sleeping garment, according to the Rush, I would not have tzitzis on it even if I wore it in the day. That's the Rush's opinion. The Rush does not look at it as day versus night. The Rush looks at it as daytime garment versus nighttime garment. But the Rambam doesn't look at it that way. The Rambam says, if you wear your nighttime poncho during the day, you better have tzitzis on it. And if you're not going to do it, don't wear it. The Rambam, and if I put on my talis at night, the Rambam says, I do not make a blessing because there's no mitzvah of the tzitzis at night. That is the Rambam's opinion. That's why you'll notice the one service where people who wear a talis even at night, right? There's one night a year where people do wear their talis at night, if they wear a talis. What night is that? Yom Kippur night. So you will notice that people make a point to put on their talis before sunset. Because if you put on your talis after sunset, according to the Rambam, you would not be allowed to make a bracha because there's no mitzvah of tzitzis at night. So you can't make a bracha. We want to wear our talis for spiritual reasons, but we wouldn't be able to make a bracha because there's no mitzvah of the tzitzis. And that is why one has to be very careful the Yom Kippur night to put on your talis while it is still daytime. Because otherwise, according to the Rambam, you wouldn't be able to make a bracha. According to the Rush, you'd have to make a bracha. So the problem is, you're not supposed to put yourself in a situation where we're uncertain, because it's like, you know, you lose either way. If I don't make a bracha, I'm committing a sin according to the Rush. If I do make a bracha, I'm reciting a blessing in vain according to the Rambam. So you're not supposed to put yourself in a situation where there's halachic uncertainty whether you make a bracha or not. Now, bottom line is, if it's halachically uncertain, you don't make a bracha, because we always say, any doubtful blessing in vain, don't make. So, lemaisa, if I would put on my talis after nightfall, I would not make a bracha because of that uncertainty, but it is improper to put yourself in that uncertainty. Okay, so that's kind of a little more advanced background on this. Yeah.
So just go back to the earlier point about remembering the Exodus.
Yeah.
80% of the Jews died in Egypt.
Yep.
So were those souls destroyed, like 80% of the Jewish Neshamas wiped out? If not, it would mean like 80% of the Jews would be told to remember something that never happened.
Obviously, the Jews that were told at the giving of the Torah to remember the Exodus were the 20% that survived. In other words, the 80% that were wiped out, definitionally, were not given that mitzvah, because they were wiped out before the Exodus. Right? In other words, all of us, unless you're descended from a convert or the like, but anyone that has an unbroken Jewish lineage must, by definition, be descended from the 20%, not from the 80%. So all of us that have the mitzvah to remember the Exodus, it's because our ancestors were redeemed from the Exodus, right? Because the 80% died before the Exodus, not in the desert. They died in Egypt during the plague of darkness. So obviously, they were not around, they didn't make a Seder, they didn't have a Korban Pesach, they did not experience the Exodus. So they don't have that that mitzvah.
They were never reincarnated?
Well, it seemed, you know, we don't know exactly, meaning perhaps they were reincarnated, but if they're reincarnated, they will celebrate the Exodus along with all of us, because whatever ability they have to keep the Torah and the mitzvahs is only because God took out the 20%. And even if the 80% gets reincarnated, they are deriving the benefit of their connection to the 20%. So if there is reincarnation of those souls, I would think there would be a reason for them as well to commemorate the Exodus, because that is how they are connecting to the Jewish people. Okay? So this is a separate myth. And again, it highlights the idea that Yetzias Mitzrayim is so fundamental to the Jewish consciousness. Now, there is a Mishnah in Maseches Brachos, though, which is a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Maybe you remember this Mishnah. And actually, it appears on the Haggadah as well. Maybe you know it from the Haggadah. Where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Hare ani keban, right? This is the beginning of the Seder, so most people are still up and their minds are still active at this point. You've only had one cup of wine, so things are okay. And it says, Hare ani keben shivim shana. Behold, I am like a man that is 70 years old. V'lo zochisi sheteyamar yitzias mitzrayim balelos. The way Rashi translates, I was not successful in convincing the sages that you have to mention the Exodus at night. I couldn't convince them. Ad Shedorsha Ben Zoma, until Ben Zoma made a drasha, an interpretation, and the interpretation is this: the Torah says, you shall remember the Exodus of Egypt all the days of your life. Now the word all is superfluous. Let the Torah just say the days of your life. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, that's the whole point. Your Ben Zoma says, that's the whole point. If it would say the days of your life, perhaps we would only mention the Exodus in the daytime. All the days of your life includes the night, and that's Ben Zoma's drasha, and that is how he convinced the Chachamim to do it at night. Okay, remember this passage? Because it says, Kol Yemei Chayecha, if it would have said Yemei Chayecha, that would be Yamim. Kol Yemei Chayecha is even the night. Now, here's the thing. Let's go over this a little piece at a time. The first statement, the first issue, which is really peripheral, but it's interesting, is what does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mean? I am like a person that is 70 years old. Does he mean he's 70 years old? So if you remember, the Gemara in Brachos has a whole story that Rabban Gamliel was the head of the Sanhedrin. And Rabban Gamliel was a very authoritarian leader. People argued with him. He put them in their place. And there were several occasions where he publicly humiliated the great sage Rabbi Yehoshua. And the assumption is that this was L'shem Shemayim, because he felt there needed to be unified psak, and you couldn't have people with different views. But at some point, his behavior was considered to be so derogatory that he was actually deposed. There was a palace revolt, and they deposed him as head of the Sanhedrin. The question then became, who should be his successor? Well, Rabbi Yehoshua, the one he embarrassed, was the likely choice. But the Gemara said that would have been too embarrassing to Rabban Gamliel, that the very person he was putting down should now be his successor. They didn't want to embarrass Rabban Gamliel this way. Rabbi Akiva was a great candidate because he was the most learned of the sages. But because Rabbi Akiva came initially from a non-Jewish background, he came from Gerim, he didn't have the merits of the avos. He didn't have the merits of a family lineage that would protect him and give him special siyata dishmaya. So the dark horse, Lahavdil, the compromise candidate they settled on, was a brilliant Talmud Chacham, Elazar ben Azariah. Elazar ben Azariah had yichus. He was a descendant of the great Ezra the Kohen. And he was very learned, and he was very wealthy, and he was politically well-connected. A good candidate, because remember, the head of the Sanhedrin wasn't only the gadol and the posek, but he also was the political liaison with the Roman Empire. So they needed somebody who was politically well-connected. Problem was, Elazar ben Azariah was a very young man. He was only 18 years old. And people might not respect a person who looks so young. So Hashem did a miracle that overnight his beard turned white-gray, white and gray. And that's what he means. Behold, I am like a person who is 70 years old. He was only 18 years old, but he looked like he was 70 years old. And this was considered to be a bracha. Now, I can give you another explanation for it, more naturalistic. You know, my wife often comments on this, that our friends who didn't go into the shul rabbinate, who are my age, still have dark beards. And those of us who went into the rabbinate have white and gray beards. So one could understand that when you get certain types of jobs, it just turns you prematurely gray. So that might be pachav shot in the Gemara. But still, it says, behold, I am like a person that is 70 years old. The Arizal says, al pi Kabbalah, a fascinating idea. The Arizal very much taught reincarnation, that souls come back to earth to complete their mission. And the Arizal, through Ruach HaKodesh, could sometimes identify which tzaddikim were reincarnations of other tzaddikim. And the Arizal says that Elazar ben Azariah was a reincarnation of the Navi Shmuel. Now the Navi Shmuel, who was very, very great, Shmuel is considered to be equal to Moshe and Aaron. But Shmuel died extremely young. Shmuel died at the age of 52 years old. Now, if Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a reincarnation of the Navi Shmuel, then Elazar ben Azariah was born with a soul that had already spent 52 years on earth. So when he was 18, how many years had his soul been on earth? 70 years, the Arizal. So that's what he means. Behold, I am like a person that is 70 years old because I was born with an old soul. I was born with a 52-year-old soul. So when I was 18, this soul had sojourned on earth 70 years. Okay. But, I mean, that's kind of a side point because that's not the actual thing they're discussing. But apparently they're discussing an issue. Do you mention the Exodus at night? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, yes. But he couldn't convince the sages until Ben Zoma made a drasha of Kol Yemei Chayecha. Now, to make matters a bit more confusing, the Mishnah then goes on and says, the Chachamim have another drasha. They, instead of saying, Yemei Chayecha are days, and all the days includes the nights, they have a different drasha. Yemei Chayecha means in this world. Kol Yemei Chayecha means even when Mashiach comes. And you might think we should only talk about the great redemption of Mashiach. We still have to mention the Exodus even when Mashiach comes, but only in the day and not at night. In other words, we have two different ways of understanding the Riboy. The Riboy means the word of inclusion. Everybody goes with the same idea. That Kol Yemei, all the days of your life, all, which is superfluous, is adding something to what you otherwise would have thought. Everybody agrees with that idea. But the machlokes is, what is it adding? According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Ben Zoma, it is adding the obligation of night. According to the Chachamim, no. You don't do it at night. But it's adding the obligation, even Yemos HaMashiach. Which means these seem to be mutually exclusive halachos. If you paskin, there's a mitzvah to mention the Exodus at night, and that's what you're using call for, you would not mention the Exodus when the Mashiach comes. Reason? Because the later redemptions are going to supersede the earlier redemptions. If, on the other hand, you use call to be marbeh, to include the days of Mashiach, then you don't have anything extra for the night, so you're back to your default setting that it's only the day. So it's either only day, but even when Mashiach comes, or it's even night, but not when Mashiach comes. That seems to be the setup of the Mishnah. Because the question becomes, what is the call adding? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says the call is adding night, and therefore you're not going to mention it when Mashiach comes, but you mention it day and night. If, on the other hand, call is being marbe Yemos HaMashiach, then you don't have any riboy for night, so you're not going to mention it at night. So the simple meaning of the Mishnah, it's just a Mishnah, and I'm not even getting into the Gemara. The simple meaning of the Mishnah is that the possibilities are mutually exclusive. In other words, nobody says there's a mitzvah both at night and when Mashiach comes. Rather, it's one or the other. You either do it day and night and will not do it when Mashiach comes, or you will do it every single day, even when Mashiach comes, but you're not going to do it at night. That's the setup of the sugya. Now, let's look at the respective logic of each position. The logic of why we do it day and night, and not when Mashiach comes, like that opinion, would simply be this. Day and night, we have to remember the Exodus, because God did redeem us both at day and at night. The redemption of the night was the death of the firstborn during the first Pesach Seder. But the actual leaving of Egypt was in the daytime. So we mention it day and night because there was a redemption at night, Makas Bechoros, and there was a redemption in the day. That would be the logic of day and night, which is how we paskin, right? That's why, right? So why wouldn't you do it when Mashiach comes? Reason, that since the redemptions of Mashiach are even going to be greater than the Exodus, there's a certain logic that we don't praise God for the lesser miracles. Lesser miracles, when we'll have the greater miracles. Right? So that would be the svara, that when Mashiach comes, we praise Him for the redemption, the Mashiach. We don't praise Him for the Exodus. That would be Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's construct. Now, let's look at the other construct, the Chachamim's construct. Their construct is, you only mention the Exodus in the day and not at night. Why? Because their argument is, yes, miracles happened at night, but those miracles are not exodus. Exodus is leaving. We didn't leave until the morning. Remember, Hashem had a cheshbon. Hashem did not want us to leave like thieves in the middle of the night. He wanted us to leave openly. I remember years and years ago, this is probably before you guys were born, when Bob Irsay moved the Baltimore Colts to Indiana. So, middle of the night, mamish, middle of the night, where nobody, only people, some people were watching him because they suspected he was going to do it. But Hashem didn't want the Jewish people to sneak out of Egypt like thieves. So, the logic of the Chachamim is, hey, we thank God for the Exodus when the Exodus occurred. That was day and not night. Now, why would I then mention it even when Mashiach comes? I mean, why am I talking about the smaller stuff when we have the bigger stuff? So here, there's logic for this too. And the logic is, hey, If there wouldn't have been an Exodus, there wouldn't have been a Jewish people. If there wouldn't have been a Jewish people, there wouldn't have been people that Mashiach would be redeeming. So it's true that the redemption of Mashiach is greater than even the redemption of Egypt. But without the redemption of Egypt, there wouldn't have been a redemption of Mashiach. So we still got to be cognizant of that. Okay? But do you understand, again, but do you understand the halachic setup here? In other words, if you were to make a box, let's say, Mashiach night, you would see that the setup of the Mishnah apparently is mutually exclusive possibilities, meaning the one common denominator is everybody admits you got to mention the Exodus in the daytime. That's for sure. Whether you mention it at night is a machlokas, and whether you will mention it when Mashiach comes is a machlokas, and they switch around. The one who mentions at night is not going to mention it when Mashiach comes, and the one who mentions it only in the day will mention it when Mashiach comes. And the reason is, you see, because it all depends on what you use the extra word call for. If call is coming for Mashiach, it's not coming for night. If call is coming for night, it's not coming for Mashiach. Therefore, these are mutually exclusive drushas. With this, therefore, it would seem, although this is a bit of a controversy, that since we do paskin, that we mention the Exodus at night, because that's why we say the Parsha of Sittis at night, it would stand to reason that our halachic position is that when Mashiach comes, we will not mention the Exodus, because since we do it at night, we follow that view. But as I say, there's a bit of a discussion here. There's some achronim that try to break the correlation in various ways. I don't want to go into the all of the details. Maybe a little later I'll go into it in a bit more depth. Okay, so really, what is the machlokas in the Mishnah about? Putting aside the Mashiach thing, whether you would say the paragraph of Sittis at night, meaning according to the Chachamim, if there's no mitzvah to mention the Exodus at night, you would not say Vayomer at all at night. Not only you wouldn't say, I don't mean you would say it in an abbreviated way, you wouldn't even say the abbreviated version. Okay, now, here is the problem. If there's a machlokas, do you mention the Exodus at night? So let me ask you, according to the Chachamim, if you don't mention the Exodus at night, does that mean they didn't make a Seder? In other words, the Chachamim say there's no mitzvah to mention the Exodus at night. So, what does that mean, Pesach night? They didn't have a Seder, they had a Seder the next day? So, here is something that countless generations who read the Haggadah misunderstand. Even though this discussion is in the Haggadah, it is not about the Seder. The Seder for sure is at night, because that is when you brought the Korban Pesach, and the Seder is the meal of the Korban Pesach. The Machlokas is about the daily mitzvah. It is not about the annual mitzvah. Meaning, the Machlokas, do you do it at night, is not do you make a Seder at night. Everybody admits you got to make the Seder at night, because the Seder is when you bring the Korban Pesach. Okay, again, this is confusing to people, because when you open up your Haggadah and you're going to read a discussion, do we mention the Exodus at night, you think, oh, we're trying to explain why we make a Seder at night. But that would imply, like the opinion that says you don't, you wouldn't be making the Seder at night. But that's not true. This Machlokas, even though it's in the Haggadah, has nothing to do with the night of Pesach. It has to do with what do you do the rest of the year. Of course, that raises a nice question. So why is it included in the Haggadah of Pesach if it has nothing to do with the Haggadah of Pesach? Okay, that is a question. Okay, so we will continue tomorrow, and take care.